Welcome to the Fantasy Gorilla Show with Trader Joe, your underground swag spot for fantasy baseball points leagues, dynasty, and redraft. The Fantasy Gorilla Show is powered by the Weekly Streamer, where sharks go for dynasty advice in the fantasy baseball universe. The Gorilla Show theme music is Giant Eagle Beats from Main Street Music Studios. All the fantasy gorillas know to hit your boy Trader Joe. If you're trying to win your league, I will help you take the gold points league master. Show you where the aces go. Welcome to the podcast. Now we're gonna play the show. Check one. Mic check one. Yo, I'm not even going to edit the mic check part out for you guys, man. It has been a depressing couple weeks in fantasy baseball. That is for sure. Your boy Trader Joe at the Fantasy Gorilla Show, powered by the Weekly Streamer, is considering calling it quits. That's right. Calling it quits. Why would I do that now? Well, it's pretty simple. We hung our hat this year on a starting pitcher named Tyler Glasnow. Tyler Glasnow was one of those pitchers that it's just like a gold mine for someone that is really trying to make it in the fantasy industry, but needs someone to pin the tail on. A good prediction that nobody else really has quite the same way. Tyler Glasnow going into this season, he was one of the favorites for the real sharp-minded fantasy analyst to hate. Everyone hated Tyler Glasnow because he had two pitches. He had the fastball and he had the curveball, and then that was it. So two-pitch starting pitchers, very easy to hate on them. So as you know, if you've listened to the show going into the season, I didn't care. I didn't care how many pitches he had. He was close to 7 feet tall with record kind of like Randy Johnson type extension towards the plate, coming right forward at you, overhand motion forward at you, and just very, very, very high spin rate, fast four-seamer, and a sick off-speed pitch. The curve is 80 grade. It is 80 grade. It's sick. So I didn't care how many pitches he had, but there was rumors and rumblings that there was going to be this third pitch that he was going to get, this slider, and it was going to perform like the Syndergaard slider or the Jake DeGrom slider. Now, there are two big differences between the Syndergaard slider and the DeGrom slider. The Syndergaard slider, the classic Thor slider that we have, is the one that breaks at 94 miles an hour, just a hard left and down. It's a radical break, and it's coming at the speed of most people's fastballs. So, you know, that's legit. That is 100% all the way legit, and it's different. It's something that people haven't had in the past. They haven't ever saw that in the past. Now, with DeGrom's fastball, with DeGrom's slider, it is a tight fast break on the fastball. So it looks like a fastball, but it's just a tight, it doesn't break that hard. I would say, you know, it only has a few inches of break on it, but it's 7 miles an hour slower than the 100 mile an hour fastball that he throws, and it's off track enough where you're going to look silly swinging at it. So two very different, distinct, but high-powered sliders that I'm thinking, man, so you're telling me that my boy Tyler Glasnow actually has a chance to have one of these absurd, ridiculous sliders in his repertoire? I mean, really? Is that really the case? I mean, could that be true? And I'm like, dude, okay, if that was true, I said, if that was true, before, this is just when spring games are starting. I say, if that's true, I'll go ahead and rank him number two. You like the way that rhymes? I say, if it's true, I rank him number two. If it's true, I rank him number two. Like that. And so it turned out to be true. It turned out to be that we learned during spring training that, yeah, he indeed actually has this slider. He does. And not only does he have this ridiculous slider, but it's now performing. You know, a lot of times when starting pitchers are analyzing, you know, pitches and introducing new pitches, you expect it at best, the new pitch that they introduce, you expect at best that it will play to a league average level. I mean, they're certainly not going to break it out and then run with it kind of like as the primary pitch. Shout out to my man Corbin Burns, who actually did that with the two-seamer. He broke pattern with that four-seamer and said, even though this is a crazy case with Corbin Burns. With Corbin Burns, it was like, dang, this four-seamer that he has is like leading the league in spin rate. It's going 100 miles an hour. Why isn't it getting that many swings and miss? For some reason, it was tunneling like the same way that the slider was, and it wasn't helping him right. For some reason, is just like the luck of the draw. So he switches, and he gets a two-seamer overnight that he's like starting to use now, and he's like, screw it, I'll rock the two-seamer. But it's very rarely that this happens this way. And Glasnow did that, started rocking this slider, and he was like leading with it. I mean, it was totally insane. And so here we are at the Fantasy Gorilla Show with your boy Trader Joe, powered by the Weekly Streamer, your one-stop shop for all of your dynasty baseball needs. And so here we had, going into the season, we had him like ranked. This was like before a spring start even happened, anything like that. We had Glasnow in our top 10. And we did a trade with a brother called Bam Bam in the original Fantasy Gorilla Show League, where we gave up like Max and like every hitter on the Reds. We went Castellano, we went Suarez, Max, and Gaussman. It looks terrible today because of how good Gaussman is. But all that to pick up Glasnow. And we ranked him in our top 10. This is before a pitch was even thrown. So 6'8", 225 pounds. He's usually more like 6'9". That's kind of like, what are you guys doing, baseball savant? He's a little taller than that. And what did he do? He came out using the slider 32% of the time. And averaged 88 miles an hour with it. Now, the texture of this slider, I mean, goodness. The texture that this slider had was one of the things that just made it so special. It played exactly like his curveball. This slider looked exactly like his fantastic 84 mile an hour curve. So it was like, throw your curveball 5 miles an hour faster and have it sweep like a little bit more on a further plane. So it functioned kind of like a secondary curveball, and then he mixed in a changeup. But the point is, he threw the fastball this season 51% of the time, and the slider was the next 32% of the time, to only 13% of the time for his curve. Secondary pitch became the slider. And his K rate, 96th percentile with this. The whiff rate, 95th percentile. The curveball spin has always been ridiculous, 95th percentile. The fastball velocity, 94th percentile. He was throwing 98. He was doing a lot of 101-2 as well. Saw him well into the ones on several occasions. He had a bad game against the Blue Jays that took some of these stats down. Now, as you were, as I alluded to, so this is a awful week, awful last. I haven't even been able to get behind a microphone. There has to be a sad part of the Tyler Glass Now story, right? I mean, the guy, I said before this, this is tough. I said before the season, I said Glass Now is going to be like a 350K pitcher. And they called me crazy. They said, I'm nuts. Oh, he's on the Rays. He wasn't going to go deep into games. You know, the whole Rays profile, he's screwed. Wrong team for that assessment. You're done. I said, you heard it here first on the Fantasy Gorilla Show with your boy Trader Joe, powered by the Weekly Streamer, your one-stop shop for all your fantasy dynasty baseball needs. Make sure that yo butt is in that Weekly Streamer Facebook group if you want some any advice like this, that you could have got this advice before the season. I know how happy you'd be right now, but before the season, you got this advice. I moved when I heard about that third pitch. I said, and then I saw it in a ST game. I said, screw it, he's number two. He's number two, dynasty points. Two. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. He's number two. And what that means is any player around that area, I am perfectly fine. If you can take Gerrit Cole and go if you have Gerrit Cole and you can get Tyler Glass Now and get them to throw in a nice piece for you, I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it. I said, Trader Joe, you're nuts, man. I said, yeah. But I like this call. Tyler Glass Now, number two dynasty overall. They say he wasn't going to go deep into games. It's looking at this game log here, just in his past 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games here. We got an 8-inning game at home against the Mets for 10 strikeouts. Another 8-inning game for 11 strikeouts at home against Kansas City. Then another 7-inning game for 11 strikeouts and at the Yankees, 7-inning games. This was a game where they got to him for like 3 innings in the first round and looked like he might have a short night, settled in. Started scaring the crap out of people with those pitches and eight strikeouts. So 7 innings pitched, 8 strikeouts. And then on 6/14 against the Chicago White Sox, 4 innings pitched, 6 strikeouts. Looks like he's rolling along well. And then he starts shaking his elbow a little bit at the mound. Shaking his elbow, and I'm like, oh no. You know, because Trader Joe, we watch every single Glass Now start. So, or at least we try to. But seeing this, it was painful. I already knew that something was wrong. Already knew it. And so he comes out of the game, and we hear very shortly that the thing was that he was experiencing some clicking. So some clicking in the elbow. That's right. Clicking. So it didn't hurt, but it was like a clicking. That, my friends, you'd like to think, oh, it didn't hurt, so it's probably okay. No, it is not okay. When you hear that, that is the precursor for Tommy John. That is the UCL ligament having a very, very rough time. And that is not, ladies and gentlemen, that is not what you want. You do not want your UCL having a hard time as an SP, because that means it's going to be about 2 years until we see you again. It's going to be most likely Tommy John. Now, a lot of times what happens with these guys is they end up trying to heal it naturally. And it really depends on what time of the year that this is done, okay? What time of the year that it's done. Now, I'm not a medical expert, but I've seen enough of these to know that the exact time of the year is crucial for this. So if it's in the middle of a season, the normal recovery is about like 12 to 14 months right now off of Tommy John before you could send a pitcher out on a rehab assignment where they're actually facing batters in a competitive situation in a minor league game. Okay? So if a pitcher gets hurt right now at this point of the year, this is probably with possible needing Tommy John. You'll see like UCL sprain, UCL strain. All of those words don't really mean anything. UCL, that's the name of the ligament. And if it has a rip in it, you're screwed. That's pretty much what you need to know. And the only way to fix it these days is Tommy John surgery. Now, before, back in the day, I imagine they would just kind of pitch through this thing and or give it more rest or whatever. Pitchers just became not power pitchers anymore after they got it. For whatever reason, and we'll discuss one of the reasons in a second here. For whatever reason, Tommy John surgery wasn't giant back in the day when this was your grandpappy's game. Well, now it's very dominant. It is extremely dominant. And so they try, if it's at this time of year, you're looking at what? Late June, early July. This is like the worst time to get it because, see, if they get surgery today, if he rushed and got his surgery today, we're still not seeing him until most likely after the All-Star break playoffs next year, which the Rays should make because they have some they have some stud puppies coming up through the system. My boy Shane Baz. That's the only like good news from this whole thing is that we should see Shane Baz a lot sooner than we should have before. Of course, Luis Patino, who's very nice in that spark position. Shane McNasty, who we talked about last time. But this is very bad. So what ends up happening a lot of times when pitchers are get this news about the UCL at this time during the season is they end up trying to heal it the natural way right now or the semi-natural way. Whatever they do, ultra-rich platelet injections, things like that into the elbow to see if the elbow can heal itself, right? Ultra-rich platelet injections. And chances are they're going to need the surgery anyway. Chances are they're going to come back and need the surgery anyway. But the reason why they do this at this time right now is because what's the use of rushing it? Even if they're going to... Let's find out if Glasnow is the miracle and can come back without the surgery and is feeling okay. Elbow stops clicking in like, you know... After like a month. So he shut down for throwing for 4 weeks. Then this was a week ago. I would have jumped on the microphone immediately. Just too depressed. I feel like someone like shot my puppy in front of me. And I saw the blood everywhere. Like that's really what kind of it felt like, you know. Because we had. Glasnow was our call over here. It was like, you think Fantasy Gorilla Show with Trader Joe? You think Tyler Glasnow? No matter what I've had to pay, in the leagues that I've had to pay for him to get him, I've had no problem. I paid through the moon. I paid you, Darvish, and freaking, and Zach Gallen for Glasnow beginning of the year. Hype train that I helped commit in a league where everyone knows, they know your boy Trader Joe, my boy. Josh Robb shot him to me, absolutely just reamed me for Tyler Glasnow. I didn't care. I had him in a dynasty. I have full control over Tyler Glasnow in every single league that I was in. Every league, I had Glasnow. You might have the championship, but I have freaking Glass. Number 2 overall dynasty. Oh, where did you have him before the season? Oh, no, like top 100 or something like that. You trading like people like, Dal Beck in a piece for him or something. No. At the Gorilla Show, we had him in a premium zone. And of course, he is walking off the mound, kind of waddling, shaking his piece. Not great. And so they're going to try it the natural way. The latest news here is they say, this is an encouraging opinion. He's pretty optimistic. He's going to be able to come back sooner or later. Well, let's hope so. Based on how his arm is currently feeling, you never can tell until you get back out there. The clicking thing, this is why we call SPs like this unicorns. Let me explain this to you right now, okay? The meaning behind this terminology here that we use at the Fantasy Gorilla Show. Somebody like Tyler Glasnow, who strikes out 15 per nine. Okay? Who does that? You know, they're rare. They're like unicorns. You don't find them. Somebody with that kind of strikeout rate up on the mound today in today's game. Ace of ace of ace, that tier. If they're throwing, you know, if they're throwing over 97 miles an hour, if they're throwing 97 to 101, 102. Shout out to Hunter Green right there on the Cincinnati Reds. We see you coming up through the system. We see you choo-choo when you get here. 104. 104 in double A ball. 104. He got promoted to triple A recently. Hunter Green, shout out. I like Hunter Green a lot. Hunter Green needs to be rising up rankings. But they're called unicorns. And we call them unicorns for a reason that they're very rare. And they're also very, very delicate. If you remember back in 2018, we had the year of Chris Sale. And Chris Sale went over to the Red Sox, and Chris Sale all of a sudden started to do things on the mound. I mean, he was always excellent and nasty and all this, but now you start now. Whoa, Chris Sale is that was 101. Chris Sale, 101 from the left side, 102. 95 mile an hour slider. Way, whoa, whoa. That's not Chris Sale. That is Chris Sale. So Peak Sale, I call him Peak Sale. Peak Sale, all of a sudden Chris Sale turned into Randy Johnson for a second, right? And you're like, wait, whoa, what do I have to do to pay to get him? So it was only like really actually Peak Sale lasted for a couple of games. I say he lasted 5-6 games. Peak Sale lasted 5-6 games before he started to get hurt like this. And he is a unicorn. And you paid what you have to get him. I remember going into the playoffs, I lost the playoffs in my Fantasy League. Fantasy, F-A-M-T-A-S-Y League. Simply because I would not learn the lesson. And I traded for questionably injured Peak Sale before the playoffs. Because I just had to have him back. Had to have him back. Yeah, I had to have him on my team. We are unicorn chasers. Now, the reason why we chase unicorns is because we have a philosophy over here at the Fantasy Gorilla Show called No Risk It, No Biscuit. Peace out to my man Hunter Rakes, the Country Biscuit, over there at the Weekly Streamer, your spot for Dynasty Baseball. Like, look, you got to risk it. They're unicorns because they're rare. They do sharp stuff. They got the horn sticking out of their head. They are rare, but they're often very pink in terms of what it takes to handle them. They break easily. They break. And so with that kind of breakage, it's like you go one or two ways. You become averse to unicorns. Like you become averse. You're like, I'm not going to fool me once. That's fine. Fool me twice. That's fine. Fool me third time, okay, but if you fool me the 15th time, I'm no longer buying these unicorns anymore. I want something a little bit more stable. So, for example, I'm having a trading back and forth and back and forth of Jacob deGrom, who is a unicorn by all means. We're going to break down exactly, you know, this show, we're introducing the terminology unicorn, though we have said it before, okay? But we're gonna go through all the characteristics of what a unicorn is, and maybe we'll put that on a shirt for you. Tyler Glass now is the epitome of a unicorn. He's 6'8", a lot of levers, a lot of weird stuff. But when he gets it going, like the hitters, like they're talking to each other, they're shaking their heads. They don't know what's going on. They're like, oh, yeah, well, good thing I don't got to hit that again yet. I don't think I'm coming up again in the dugout, am I? Hopefully not. Hopefully this is over before I get embarrassed again. Mama's out there in the crowd. Just brought my girl was going to propose. Don't want to face Glass now one more time again. Oh, please let them pull him from the game. He's a unicorn. He is a freaking unicorn flying through the sky, and now he's broken. And I'm telling you, one of the reasons why he is broken... One of the reasons why Tyler Glass now is broken. I mean, this is legit true. This stupid foreign substance thing that's going on that that Major League Baseball is doing with the pitchers right now. This insanely stupid foreign substance thing that started. I'm going to give you a whole history about it, but yeah, it goes back. Like last year, it became really popular when Trevor Bauer ratted in public about Garrett Cole's use of something called sticky tack. It's a substance that you put on your fingers as a pitcher, grip the ball more to make the ball go faster, make it spin more. If you have higher spin rates, you got better breaks. You got there's we've done talks. You know about spin rates. Google spin rates pitchers, and you'll get the idea. And so that was like a real dry snitch by Bauer, like just you know just putting it out there as to like I got my spin rate really high, like out of nowhere because of this, right? Applying it to Garrett Cole. Then, of course, Bauer has the crazy season last year where his spin rate increases to a million RPMs. I think like what's 3,000 RPMs average for his fastball. He has his best year ever over there at the new place, Spincinnati. So Bauer did really well, and the secret was, hey, if he can't beat him, join him. So now, since he couldn't, like, dry snitch Cole into like Major League Baseball doing something to make Cole and him even. So now he's going to use it too. He's going to show y'all what's up. So allegedly, like that's the deal or something. Okay. Now where I'm from, snitching is snitching. So don't make stuff public if you don't want it public. If you did make it public and it comes around to hurt somebody else because you made it public, you're in big trouble. Like that kind of stuff doesn't fly on the streets. If you feel me, right? However. That's what happened. And so then I guess it became one of the, like Major League Baseball, you were originally thinking, well, they're not really going to care that much about this stuff. What are they going to do? Whatever. Like, it's just one of those unwritten things, whatever, yada, yada. Well, apparently Major League Baseball took a big, you know, saw this as an opportunity, say, hey, this is a way that we can wield power over the players. We will be like a mini police state in there, right? We're going to be starting to like check pitchers' substances. Like as they leave the field, pitchers are going to be checked for all sorts of substances and yada yada and stuff like that. So they're gonna, you know, when that happens. It's not just, you know, politics for politics' sake. It's and now something that they can wield in the at the collective bargaining agreement, all sorts of kind of different stuff that they can do that they believe now that they have leverage over the players to act like jerks with these substances. So they're going to test them and all that. So, okay, it's one thing if you want to ban this stuff called spider tack, which is like some real unique stuff that you put, like if pitchers putting crazy stuff on the ball in order to get an advantage on spin rates and things like that, then yeah, I mean, you know, you might want to look into that in a way, right? Like I don't have a giant problem with it. I'm not really that much of an equipment person. I'm more like into like, hey, if you can get away with it smooth, keep your mouth shut, it's all good. That's where I'm at. But Trader Joe's opinions aside, you guys want to get rid of spider tacks, fine, whatever. But the stuff that Tyler Glass now was using, man, sunscreen. He's using sunscreen. And so like sunscreen and dirt. He used sunscreen and dirt. And that's just to get a better hold on the ball. Like not really like he's not doing it so that, you know, because he needs that to increase his RPMs or thing like that. He's doing it just that he can hold the ball. And so so Glass now explained this to us in a tweet after he got injured. He explained it to us. And he told us, he said, the reason why I got hurt was because I wasn't allowed to use my sunscreen. And that's all I usually say. I wasn't allowed to use anything sticky, including sunscreen. Like, just use your hand. That's it. So, you know, cold turkey, just use your hand all of a sudden. And I'm trying to find this tweet for y'all on the fly right here. Yeah, Tyler Glass now blames injury on no sticky stuff at Sox Park.
He did. Tyler Glass now injury. Let me see what happens. Tyler Glass now injury. I spelled injury wrong. Glass now injury. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'll have to get that tweet pulled up again. But yeah, so Glass now has this has decided, hey, look, you know, this is a huge problem, and he explains it. He says it's because my hands are big, right? So I just need a little bit of grip to make sure that they stay on the ball correctly. And he's saying what I was doing was it was causing me to grip with my forefinger, my middle finger, and my thumb a lot harder on every single pitch. And in doing that, that's what put the pressure on the forearm, and eventually you're throwing 101 mile an hour, 102 miles an hour. That eventually is going to snap. It's going to snap. I do it. I want you to hold something together. Hold something together in your fingers. All right? You know, and then picture throwing it and like spinning it on your elbow, and like after you're holding something really tight, after you're holding a ball real tight. It makes a whole lot of darn sense. And so literally that's when it happened, and then that's when you see that injury. And we're starting to see more finger injuries, more injuries related to this kind of stuff. This is becoming a darn joke. The politics of this game are becoming a sick, 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 bad joke. I don't think we see... I'm not just being negative. I don't think that we see... Tyler Glass now. I don't think we see him until for another couple years. And then who knows, right? Who knows? We'll see if the predictions are still in effect, right? That sucks, doesn't it? Denelson Lamet, same story. Just had a start today. He leaves after a couple innings. He needs the surgery. His forearm is, it's freaking toast, and they keep on trying to bring him along slow. I think we might see Mackenzie Gore, even though he's not ready sooner than we would want to, even though he's playing terribly. Remember, the sky is the limit. It might just take him getting a shot and clicking for Mackenzie Gore. He looked like he had a few strikeouts in spring training. Make sure in redrafts, especially things like that, you want to speculate on somebody real fast. Go ahead and scoop Gore. Obviously, Weathers will be up, but yeah, that's over there for the Padres. Guys, man, yeah, this is something that I'm not cool with, man. This Tyler Glass now injury really shot my unicorn has been shot, and so I don't think we see him next year. I don't think we see him until 2023. He did say he'll be back this year, rocking for the playoffs, possible. Okay, I pray. I hope it can. That would be absolutely amazing. I don't think it is. Don't think that it's very freaking likely. So, this was the Crybaby episode. It's just something. Look, if you want some practical application, here is something that I would do. And you know, we're all about pitching at the Gorilla Show. That's what we do. It's a fantasy Gorilla Show. It's a show about pitching, right? So for this year, at least in redrafts. Okay, I would sincerely look at cashing in a lot of the pitching for top tier hitting. So if you can cash in top tier aces, just with, you know, because a lot of times point leagues is just aces, so the market's high in aces. I was able to in a league cash in some top tier pitching for some aces. I mean, for some prime lumber, and I held DeGrom and a couple, and I held DeGrom, Gausman. Gausman is someone. Kevin Gausman, someone that you want to get, okay, especially in redrafts, things like that. You need a dependable arm who still throws hard, goes deep into games, giving you great numbers, might not cost you $1 million on the dollar to get. He'll be expensive, though. Kevin Gausman. Go ahead and do what you have to do to get him. I have him redraft as a top five pitcher the rest of the way. If you want to know how big I am on him, I had to give up. I gave up Freddie Freeman for him. So that's how high I am on Kevin Gausman. And I do it again.
But the rest of the trades that I made were flipping in for bats. Was able to pick up Soto cheap. Juan Soto obviously has a great Statcast number still, and he his the peripherals are still outperforming the regulars, so that will be massive points on the horizon. You want something? Yeah, if you're in your points leagues, stock up on some bats right now, especially for this season. Just because, look, it's already a risk with pitchers chasing the unicorns. I don't think chasing unicorns in this environment, like chasing unicorns through a through hurricane winds or through what do you call the thing? Twisters, tornadoes, chasing unicorns through tornadoes. This has been a crappy episode. I'm sorry, guys, but it's all I got. They shot my unicorn. They shot my unicorn. And I don't know. The only thing you can do to survive this one is make sure that you're in Dynasty stocked up on those Rays up-and-comers, especially Shane Baz, doing stupid things. Got promoted to AAA. Nobody can hit him. He's very glass now in his upside. Make sure you have Shane Baz. That's all I can say. All right. Peace, guys. Fancy.
Thank you all for listening. I appreciate you. Once again, the Fantasy Gorilla Show with Trader Joe has been brought to you by The Weekly Streamer. Make sure to subscribe to The Weekly Streamer Dynasty Baseball Podcast, available on all platforms. And join The Weekly Streamer Dynasty Baseball Group on Facebook. Hit your boy Trader Joe on that platform for further assistance. Yeah. It's your boy.